Those three are waking up with a new outlook on life.
It is worth an estimated $564.1 million.
Winning tickets sold in North Carolina, Puerto Rico, and Texas. The Puerto Rico ticket, the first Powerball jackpot winner ever sold outside the continental U.S. If they choose the lump sum option, they would get about a third of about $381 million before taxes. The other option, 30 payments over 29 years, I'd take either, Dave.
Yeah, me too. A former Korean airline executive who had a tantrum on a plane, forcing it to return to a gate at New York's JFK Airport, sentenced to a year in jail. What upset her? The crew in first class served her macadamia nuts in a bag instead of on a plate. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Private mortgage insurance, or PMI, can cost you thousands. The Quicken Loans PMI Advantage is our lender-paid mortgage insurance program. You see, we pay the PMI so you don't have to. PMI Advantage can give you more options, more flexibility, and may save you thousands when you refinance. To learn more, call us at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License law. 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
These days, businesses have to always be on. On call, on site, and online. And with Regis, you'll be ready. With an unmatched local, national, and global network, Regis helps you be anywhere your business needs to be. Regis provides workspace, technology, and support staff. So whether you need a place to work for a day, a week, or even a month, Regis gets you up and running fast. Stay connected through Regis and be free to do your best work. Regis, the new way to work. Call 1-800-OFFICES now.
Guilty. The captain of the Costa Concordia, 3 years after he ran the cruise ship aground off the Italian coast and fled while passengers died. Francesco Scatino gets 16 years for manslaughter. Fox News Radio's Courtney Walsh is live in Grosseto, Italy.
Yes, Dave. Well, not are pleased with yesterday's verdict in the Costa Concordia trial, wondering if Captain Francesco Scatino will ever go behind bars. The father of a musician who drowned in the Costa shipwreck 3 years ago called the 16-year prison sentence for the death of 32 people shameful. Scatino, dubbed Captain Coward in the media and a reckless idiot by the prosecution, was not in court last night, saying he had a fever. The judges turned down the request he be jailed immediately. His lawyers say they will appeal. Dave?
Courtney, longtime CBS News reporter Bob Simon has died. He covered wars, reporting from all over the world, even kidnapped during the Iraq War, but Simon was killed blocks from his New York City home in a car crash last night.
He couldn't do enough. I mean, it was as if I said, you know what, Bob, I have a really good story, and it's halfway around the world, he'd be on his way before he knew what it was about.
60 Minutes executive producer Jeff Fager on WCBS-TV. Simon was 73, been working on a piece for this Sunday's 60 Minutes on the search for an Ebola cure. On Wall Street, futures saw rising before today's trading. Now sports, saying his golf game is off course. Tiger Woods is taking a break from the PGA Tour. Not long after shooting a career-worst 82 in Phoenix, Woods also suffered some back tightness and is getting physical therapy for that. He says he's working on his game and won't play again until he is tournament-ready, hopefully soon. In the NBA, LeBron is flying high.
Dang, lost it. Here comes LeBron James. 2-on-1. Toss! LeBron James threw it down for T-Bone!
James scored 18, beating his old team, the Heat, on FS Ohio. Cleveland has won 14 out of 15. I'm Dave Anthony.
Hi, friends. This is Janet Parshall, host of In the Market, coming to you on Moody Radio. Ever wake up in the morning, turn on the morning news, and you just feel like you're out of focus, not quite sure how you should respond as a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, that's what In the Market is designed to do. We take a look at those headlines. We take a look at that news, but we do it in a markedly different way. We look at it through the lens of Scripture. Why? So you'll go out in the marketplace of ideas for His sake. Join us for In the Market with Janet Parshall.
We are pleased to be adding Janet Parshall to our program schedule, Sundays at 12:05, right here on 1180 AM, WFYL, working for your liberty.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Go to lensofliberty.org. That's lensofliberty.org.
Tonight, you don't want to miss the premiere of the...
Welcome to WFYL here in Jeffersonville, Pennsylvania, near Valley Forge. We got some good things to cover this morning. Scott Newcomer from the Christian Businessmen's Organization is going to be on at about 8:05, and we're hear all about their activities. Also, excuse me, the weather is mostly cloudy today. It's about 25 degrees going up to 41. There's a 21 or 20% chance of precipitation. It's cloudy. It's been a very eventful week as far as a lot of things going on, newsworthy things, and I'm going to start right off the bat here with reiterating from yesterday's program, bringing back the Black Robed Regiment. And basically, it's a DVD, could be two DVDs now. We had one of them here that we were playing on the air by Reverend Dan Fisher of Yukon, Oklahoma. The Trinity Baptist Church there was reiterating the history of the American Revolution. The shot heard round the world was actually started by a congregation there in Lexington, Concord, where the pastor led his congregation on the green, and one of the deacons was his assistant. And basically, they were so instrumental in the liberation of the United States from England that the British called them the Black Robed Regiment. And you can go online and basically order that from Reverend Dan Fisher's webpage there. The church is in Yukon, Oklahoma, the Trinity Baptist Church. Going on with the news, the Attorney General nominee, Loretta Lynch, and this is in the news almost daily, is tied to the world's biggest banking scandal, according to sources WND. It involved HSBC, a huge bank out of Britain, and the U.S. government actually fined the bank $1.2 billion because HSB laundered billions of dollars that were traced back to the Mexican drug cartel. Lynch, in 2012, was a U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of New York and oversaw the investigation of drug-related international money laundering allegations against HSBC. Eric Holder's Department of Justice appears to be stonewalling the release of documents that could implicate Lynch in a massive cover-up of the Obama administration's involvement in the international money laundering of Mexican drug cartel money. So you can add this to your list. It makes sense. Attorney General Holder has defended the Obama administration by withholding evidence, withholding emails, and now it makes absolute sense. He wants to appoint another attorney general to succeed Holder, who's of the same mindset, same set of values that Attorney General Holder has, and he's nominated Loretta Lynch. Now it's coming out about this big banking scandal, and you can go online, WND, and get the whole story. It's a story of corruption on the highest levels among some of the biggest, one of the biggest banks in the world. And it needs to be investigated thoroughly because we don't want somebody that isn't honest and forthright as Attorney General of the United States. Now, part of the news recently is that Radio Shack is going bankrupt. And this is people could see it coming for a while, but still it points out that the economy is not that good. They're closing all kinds of stores and some of the major outlets in the United States. along with Radio Shack and closing these stores, only 44% of U.S. adults are employed for 30 or more hours per week. And according to the Gallup CEO, Chairman Bryant, the number of full-time jobs as a percent of the population is the lowest, is hovering around the lowest it's ever been. So the government says the unemployment rate is 5.6%, which is relatively low. People, including the president of the State of the Union address, is saying that, you know, we've recovered from the Great Recession, but the reality of it is, by independent sources, and you can't get anything more independent than the president of a Gallup organization, the big polling organization, is saying that, well, he called it the big lie, 5.6 unemployment. And you go to and talk to your neighbors, you'll find out a lot of young people can't get jobs. And we're bringing in illegal aliens to do a lot of the work when our own children don't have jobs. So this is something to be concerned about and to be aware of. You got to know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay, going on, and this is something that this station has covered, one of the few stations probably nationwide, the meltdown there in Japan, and we have a unique perspective in that I served in the Navy, nuclear-powered Navy, aboard the USS Daniel Webster, SBN 626. At different times, they rotate you through different jobs. I was a chaplain of about a 100-man crew there. I mean, you wore many hats, but among the hats that I wore was reactor officer, electrical officer, communications officer, of course, different times, sonar officer, classified material control officer, top secret control officer. Before they even let me on the submarine, they put me through a year and a half school at Saratoga Springs, New York. They had actually had an operating reactor where we practiced starting it up and shutting it down, learning all about it. It was a reactor that was actually installed on the guided missile frigate Bainbridge, and learned quite a bit. Then they sent me, well, before that, they had me at Bainbridge, Maryland, where I learned the theory of the nuclear power plants the Navy had. And then they sent me to submarine school in New London, Connecticut. But once I was on the submarine, they had a huge training program for 4.5 years, essentially. For the better part of it, I was being trained on reactor safety and reactor operation. And so we had terrific training. You have a lot of responsibility. Right out of college, suddenly they put you in a position where you're eventually got qualified to operate the submarine submerged and on the surface. And as reactor engineering officer of the watch on this nuclear power plant. So when these things melted down, when the reactors melted down, there were four of them in Japan because of the tidal wave and earthquake resulting tidal wave, knocked out all electrical power, swamped the emergency generators. Immediately, the red flags went up. This is a serious, serious thing. And, of course, the government doesn't tell you everything that you need to know. And in this particular case, the World Health Organization once warned that the cancer rates would soar in the immediate vicinity of this meltdown. And they predicted 50%. And that's quite a jump at first glance. And they said it would happen in less than 20 years. but we've already surpassed that estimate, which once seemed catastrophic. It soared. Are you ready for this? And this is why I was so adamant and why I reacted so strongly and recommended what I did, and I'll get into that in a minute. It soared 6,000%. It's not a little bit, you know, 0.5 or 50%, but 6,000%. It's 600 times or 60 times what it was before this reactor melted down. So I'll get into it when we get back from break. Russell's given me the sign here that we're about to go into break, but this is something that the world needs to be concerned about.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
Do you want to learn how to mask your identity to browse inappropriate websites and stream media while at the office?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's web security solutions keep online activity clean and ensure internet bandwidth performance. Reclaim your network, like 150,000 other businesses already have. To learn more about preventing web-based threats, visit barracuda.com/web.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
Getting back to the cancer rate increase there in Japan near the Fukushima site, it's a 6,000% increase, 60 times what it was before the meltdowns. As reports from individuals like Shinanko Yoshina, a supporter of the Fukushima Cooperative Clinic, talk about exploding rates of thyroid cancer in children, as well as an epidemic of leukemia, heart attacks, and other health problems, the Abe-led government, that's the premier of Japan, and the U.S. continue to sweep the fallout of the disaster under the rug. Cancer rates have exploded at an increase of almost 6,000% in areas near the reactor meltdown. Aside from the people on the street interviews that a rare media outlet will report on, mainstream media stays completely silent. Well, I don't know what to say except that anybody that had anything to do with reactors and was trained like I was for a year and a half and then went to continuous training while operating fleet ballistic missile submarines like we did, knows that a meltdown is the worst possible thing, and it's something that doesn't go away for 100 years or more. All that has half life, and these are commercial reactors. They generated huge amounts of waste material, and they stored them on site. They stored them in big racks on the second and third floors. I don't know what they were thinking of. And if these racks are hit with another earthquake, they could collapse on themselves and basically cause even more problems. They're supposed to be encapsulated in a zirconium cladding that keeps the radioactive fission products basically safe. They're supposed to be in big water tanks. But when earthquakes happen, things go wrong. And this is a really bad situation. I suggested almost alone that they put a huge plastic plexiglass dome over the whole site and put huge, I'm talking about the size of tractor trailer filters on it, and filter the air in there, keep the radiation levels low, but away from the rest of the world, and particularly the Japanese children close by. I also suggested a filter for the ocean. It's right on the ocean there, that would filter all the, have a huge ship specifically designed to plug into this big dome and filter the water and all the radioactivity out of it. So the radioactivity from the huge monumental amounts of radiation wouldn't leak into the Pacific Ocean and affect the wildlife. And if you read the ongoing reports, sardines, shellfish, jellyfish, all these species are being affected as far away as the Pacific coast of the United States. Instead of the government reporting on this, they have covered it up. The radiation monitors have been, well, the standards have been changed so that what formerly was an alarm level is not an alarm level anymore. And this is just, we need somebody in the White House and somebody that's truthful and honest and realizes that this technology, while it's wonderful for providing power, they just need to not build them on a earthquake zone. And if they have to have them, they need to basically have huge backup facilities like they obviously didn't have enough of here. And they this radiation is getting in the atmosphere, it's getting in the ocean. This is killing absolutely species and whales, and it goes on and on. The Ronald Reagan aircraft carrier, nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, which had all these highly trained people like myself on it, was cruising off the shore while this was happening, and they got caught flat-footed, and it started snowing, and the sailors, being sailors and normal people, started throwing snowballs. But what they didn't realize is all this was radioactive snow, and now it used to be reported in the news media, 4, 5, 8 of the sailors are dying of radiation poisoning. One of them can't walk. It goes on and on. They had to take the Ronald Reagan to a specially prepared dry dock there in Washington and have it contaminated. There's huge nuclear waste facilities and whatnot in Washington area, and had to take huge amounts of material and everything and have it buried there in Washington State. But this is something that it's still melting and basically emitting radiation to the atmosphere, polluting the ocean. This is something that needs to be addressed. To save the Japanese children would be enough of a reason to do it. But it's affecting the whole world, the Pacific Ocean, and it's just a 6,000% increase in cancer rates in Japan. They're close to the reactor. What more can I say except it almost makes me weep that these reactors have gone astray. It's a worst case of Russians, and everybody else is concerned about this, but the news media isn't covering it. And meanwhile, the Japanese population is suffering. What more can I say? Another item that is on the agenda here. In Alabama, there's a Judge Roy Moore, and he was instrumental. He's now head of the Alabama Supreme Court, and he was instrumental in trying to keep the federal government from removing the Ten Commandments from the Alabama State Capitol building. This is 10, 15 years ago. Well, he's back in the news because one of the federal judges has decreed that Alabama has to accept same-sex marriages. Well, he's pointed out, in my opinion, correctly, and if you all want to call in, we have a Constitution show with certifiable, excellent constitutional scholars. It's on at 7 o'clock a.m. on Friday, tomorrow morning, and ask these scholars. We had Gary Porter in to give a 8-9 hour lecture there at Valley Forge Conference Center. Did an excellent job. Call him and ask him what he thinks tomorrow morning. Sam Rohr is also involved with that. And essentially what our Constitution says is that anything that isn't decreed as a right for the states is under the purview, or any, our Constitution gives certain things that the federal government does. Anything that is not in the Constitution is the right of the people or the states. And that's what Judge Moore has pointed out. Constitution doesn't say the feds can regulate marriage. So we'll get back into this. We're approaching a break here. Getting back to our story about Judge Roy Moore in Alabama there. He's now presently the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the state of Alabama. And Judge Moore defies the federal government by saying the law is very clear. And I believe the law is clear as far as the Constitution goes. Marriage is a clear prerogative of the states. And basically they can decide, and here in Pennsylvania, it was the same situation. The state actually had a law, part of the Pennsylvania Constitution, that said marriage is between a man and a woman. The federal government, one of the judges, the federal government, ruled that illegal, and basically our former governor, Tom Corbett, chose not to dispute that. But I think he should have. At the time, I wrote that he should have disputed it. He's no longer our governor. So what can I say except I wish the state of Alabama, under Judge Roy Moore's leadership, to basically keep marriages between a man and a woman the law of the land down there in Alabama. And I think the Supreme Court of the United States sooner or later has to rule on this. And I think Clarence Thomas and some of the other judges want to do that as soon as possible. And I wish them well. Hopefully they'll correctly interpret the Constitution and reinstate the rightful law of the states as being in charge of marriage. And but it's a very ongoing issue. Right now, we are privileged to have again in our studio Michelle. And Michelle, if you could introduce yourself again and basically lay out what you'd like to talk to our listeners about this morning.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Yes, hi. Today is again another, airing of Accelerating Your Business. Again, this segment is designed for business owners and those who are aspiring business owners to call in, as well as executives, to ask any of business questions that they have in their minds. We did this last week. I thank you so much for those who listened in and called in as well. We'll use the same format, go through a topic. However, as people call in with their business questions, we will be interrupted, and I will definitely take the time to answer them. People can call in again. The number call-in number is area code 610-539-8255, which stands for 610-539-TALK, or 877-667-1180. So one of the things that I first want to start off with, we also have an email address that we had communicated to you previously at askmichelle@1180wfyl.com. And we had someone actually email us with a business question last week. His name was William Clark. Thank you, William, for calling in, and emailing in. Actually, the question was, what kind of marketing should be done for a new business? And so, actually, William, I took some time to think through that question. It was very broad. You didn't go through any detail in terms of the type of business. So it's a very broad question, but I'm sure a lot of business owners or aspiring business owners have it. In terms of the kind of marketing, honestly, it really depends. It depends on who you're trying to target. So if your target audience, your target customers are those who go online a lot, then it would make sense that, you know, putting a lot of effort in marketing in terms of online marketing, whether that's banner ads through your website, social media, which is obviously very big for those who use that a lot, especially for the younger generation and millennials. Or if it's something more traditional, it might be through, let's say, storefronts in terms of ads to do there, newspaper ads, traditional television, or it can be grassroots marketing, right? Where you just do it if it's in, you're trying to target a certain neighborhood or trying to target certain areas, then you want to make sure that you use the right tactics and, you know, what you need to communicate, what you are trying to offer to that population and to that target audience, and make sure that you do it in a way that may be a little bit more intimate if that will work for them. Also, you know, with marketing, you want to make sure that in addition to looking at all your options and then looking to see, you know, who uses it the best based on who you want to target for your target customers, you also want to take a look at, you also want to take a look at alliances, meaning that oftentimes businesses, whether large or small, try to do it alone, when the way to really optimize your results is to partner alongside, you know, other like-minded organizations or complementary organizations that you can in order to get your message out. And again, that can be done on a very intimate grassroots level, or it can be done on a very high level in terms of, you know, well-paid and well-funded ads. So it's something to think about, but that's the way that I would suggest that you go about it. So thank you very much, William, for your email with that. Okay, so I'm just going to continue talking, like I said, until we get some of the callers in. I believe that some are calling now. But I'll start off with the area that I wanted to touch on today. And touching on today is a focus on competitive intelligence. Competitive intelligence and understanding your competitors is an area that, unfortunately, many business owners are not very aware of, and even executives at very large organizations. I think oftentimes we can get into a place where we just focus so much on, you know, what we're doing. And yes, you do have to focus on making sure that you're doing a good job and that you're doing what you need to do in order to, you know, to make sure that you're being successful with what you deliver to those who decide to retain you. However, at the same time, you want to make sure that you're not living in a bubble, so to speak, meaning that you don't just know what you're doing and don't know what's going on in the world around you. I mean, we heard recently for a larger company, Radio Shack, that's been around for so many years, unfortunately, going into bankruptcy and downsizing. And you think to yourself, how could, you know, a company that's been around for so long and had been doing business for so many years, you know, get to this point? And again, the principles is something that can be applied large and small, not going into small business statistics and the fact that so many of them don't survive, you know, after a number of years. But it's, again, the same core principles. While you are trying to continue on in your business, you can't just, again, be in a hole. You have to pay attention to what's going on in the world around you. You have to know, okay, who are emerging competitors? You know, are competitors doing something different, better, faster than we're doing? You know, did they identify a need in our customers that we hadn't yet? You know, is it something that we can learn from to make sure that at least we are operating and serving on par with what we've done in the past? I mean, these are, you know, some core questions, but these are things that you need to ask yourself continuously. For those who are in sales, especially, it's very important. I think any salesperson can understand going out on a sales call and then going up and you're trying to serve something or you're trying to sell something. And then, you know, the person you're selling it to asks you, well, how are you better than X? You know, and many times if that particular salesperson or that business owner, if they're in charge of business development, can't really articulate and can't say very clearly, okay, you know, what is the, you know, to be able to say, you know, how are we better, you know, what is our competitive advantage, how do we differentiate, and be able to say that clearly, the likelihood of them getting the sale is something that can be greatly reduced. So it is very important to have that top of mind, even as you are continuing to grow and innovate and serve your customers that you have, as well as look for others. So we have a call coming in, Will from Allentown. Will, are you there?
Yes. Good morning, Michelle. How are you?
Good. How are you? What business question can I answer for you today?
Well, it looks like this winter is starting to shape up like last winter, where snowstorms, ice storms are causing cancellations of appointments and some stress on, you know, retail and on other businesses here. What can a business do when winter weather affects productivity and sales?
Well, thank you so much for your question, Will. That is a great question. And what it does is what it does, right? We can't control the weather. We can't control, you know, what winter does oftentimes to our businesses and how they may slow them down. But I would look at this as an opportunity. You know, during these times when, you know, you may have some cancel appointments or business might slow a bit, you know, the thing to really do is take some time to regroup, right? Anytime you have, think you have downtime, you want to get more into the planning stage and almost the plan of attack stage, so to speak, so that when the weather does turn around and you have some of those opportunities that you can reschedule, let's say if they're cancellations or, you know, if it's missed business, thinking of creative ways to kind of get that business back or accelerate that business, no pun intended, going forward so that you can actually capitalize on it. So oftentimes, again, we get so frustrated when things occur. And yes, it can throw curveballs for us because we don't exactly know, you know, how we're going to handle them sometime. But, you know, again, look at it. Okay, so it was a missed day. It was a couple of appointments. Reschedule. It's gotten a little bit better now. I know we're expecting snow again. And depending on where you live, you may have a lot or a little. But, you know, during the times when it's not, you know, try to get those appointments back. You know, still, you can still always make a phone call and you can still always email. So you can still reach out. You can still do some other things to kind of touch base with your customers, even while you may not be open if you're an office or if you're in a physical office or if you're in a physical storefront or a business. So just take those times. And then when the time does get better, you know, prepare for that time. So when things do get better, then you have now a better game plan in place because you're not just focusing on, let's say, whatever you plan for, whatever your targets were for that particular point in time. But now you are actually taking into account what you lost. And so this is a way for you to just, let's just say, work twice as hard to take advantage of what you did before. And then also, too, I think that, you know, when people are snowed in and people can't do a lot, they do pay a lot of attention to, you know, being online and trying to still connect. And I think they would appreciate the outreach that you would provide them, even though you can't do, let's say, what was originally scheduled. So again, whether you're doing it on a small basis or on a larger basis, for a larger business, it's the same kind of principle. Just take the time to regroup, plan, still communicate to the extent that you can, and then double up going forward. And I believe you'll be able to get your business going forward. So did that answer your question, Will?
Yeah, some good ideas.
All
right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shopping experience unlike any other. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used selection of clothing, shoes, books, kitchenware, home decor, furniture, appliances, and more. We offer free pickup of large loads and large items such as furniture and appliances. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6, Saturday, 9:30 to 4:30, and closed on Sunday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org. Like us on Facebook. We hope you'll stop in and check us out. You'll be glad you did. We help you help others.
Hi, it's Roger Hedgecock. Join me live each day from 6 to 9 p.m. here on 1180 AM WFYL. You can call in or you can stream my program on 1180WFYL.com from midnight to 3 a.m. That's the Roger Hedgecock Show here in the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge in Philadelphia on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.
Hey, Grandma, I'm confused. We're reading an article the New York Times wrote in 1999 in my Common Core book about the fall of the Berlin Wall. Didn't you tell me Ronald Reagan was mostly responsible for the fall of the Soviet Union?
Well, yes, I did.
Well, right here in the article, it says Mikhail Gorbachev did that. When I told them I thought it was Ronald Reagan, my teacher said no, that he was a president then, but he was just a good salesman. It was Gorbachev who was the great reformer who transformed the world. Boy, I'm glad they talked about that, because I would have gotten it wrong on the test.
Oh, honey, that was just an article from an old biased newspaper. I was there, and you can trust me. Oh, what are they going to teach you next? These Common Core lessons are awful.
Learn more about the Federal Common Core and PA Core standards and call your representatives today and ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call Richard at 484-678-2236. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Before coming to head this organization, I worked in television news, both at the local and network levels, and I remember a joke line I'd often hear in the newsroom. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. It was truly meant as a joke because we all understood our duty to unflinchingly report the facts and not embellish them to make for a more compelling but ultimately untrue story. So with the stunning revelation that NBC Nightly News anchor Brian Williams lied about being on an Army helicopter that took enemy fire while he was covering the Iraq War, he becomes the joke. There should be consequences for failing such an important duty to be truthful, but there are definitely consequences for these outright lies, further distrust of the mainstream media. Morality and ethics truly do matter. We need to fight for a return to integrity in the media and in government. The Pennsylvania Family Institute website is pafamily.org.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Accelerating Your Business, hosted by me, Michelle Fawson, President and CEO of MJF Strategy and author of How to Grow and Expand Your Business in Times of Feast or Famine. We have another caller on the line, Pablo. Pablo, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Pablo, for calling in. What is your question this morning?
I got a question. I got a business kind of struggling a little bit, and I guess you can say it's similar to like what's going on with Radio Shack. You know, I do a lot of retail, and it seems like a lot of stuff is going online, and I'm basically a brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm trying to see what steps I should take as far as going web to because that's where, you know, it seems like a lot of stuff is going.
So, I'm sorry, what kind of business do you have?
I have a retail, more like a, I guess, electronics, something similar to a Radio Shack.
Okay.
I'm on the pop shop.
Okay, and how long have you been in business?
About 20 years.
Okay, wow. And for most of your customers, I mean, what is their demographics? Meaning, like, how old are they typically, average age, or does it range?
I'm in Trenton, New Jersey, so it seems like, you know, the neighborhood is changing over. So mm-hmm. where people are more my age in the 50s, now a younger generation is coming in, and they don't tend to shop in a store like the older generation.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is web-based, and I guess my question is what steps, and I'm not too web savvy, so what mm-hmm. steps could I take to, should I bring in an investor, or should I bring in someone more knowledgeable of that base to help me transition?
Well, I would say the first thing is that it's wonderful that you have identified that this is something that you need, right? Because oftentimes businesses ignore when there's issues. Mm-hmm. And when you ignore issues, it's never good, because at some point things blow up and miscommunication occurs. So I think it's great that you are actually approaching in this way. If you definitely want to start targeting the younger generation, then yes, doing things online and via the web is going to be imperative, because like you said, a lot of times they don't shop via a lot of brick and mortar stores. So I would say that, you know, the first thing to do is, yes, if you don't feel comfortable or confident in terms of designing a website, understanding the whole online strategy in terms of how to target this audience, it probably would be best to go and retain someone who is more versed in this area. But while you are looking to do so, you can still do some things yourself. I mean, right now, honestly, you know, building a website, at least a basic website, is not that difficult. I mean, there are many, you know, online resources that you can go to, you know, Wix.com. There's 1in1.com. You know, these are something just to get you started. This is by no means comprehensive in terms of all that you can do. But, you know, at least so you have something, because if you don't have anything right now, you're kind of behind the eight ball, so to speak. So I would suggest that you definitely do that. But when you do it, don't just do it for the sake of doing it, right? You still want to do it in such a way where you are, you know, clearly communicating what your products and services are, you know, clearly communicating and very succinctly what your message is, you know, how you differentiate, you know, why should they go to your electronic stores versus, you know, mass retailers or other stores, you know, right. So you have to kind of think again, you know, who am I targeting? If you want to focus more just on the people in your neighborhood, you know, and still target at least the message towards that, the fact that you are local, that you bring that kind of neighborhood feel, then you can still do that online as well. But if you're trying to reach a broader audience, then you have to think through, you know, what is going to make sense to them and what's going to kind of bring them in. In the meantime, as you get the help, you know, those people who will help you to implement some of these strategies are also going to be the ones to recommend more in depth, because I don't know exactly, you know, all the intricacies of your business. I can't really say with every step of detail how I'd go about it, but I would say that there are definitely steps and approaches that you can do to figure out, again, you know, what do we, it's almost like looking at the end game first. Mm-hmm. In terms of what you want to achieve, and then doing the steps that you need to take in order to reach that end game. So so definitely it's great, again, that you're doing that. In terms of your retail store as well, I mean, I would definitely still try to leverage that as much as possible. I don't know how much foot traffic you get, if that has changed, as like you said, your neighborhood has changed. But, you know, mm-hmm. try to capitalize on that as well. You know, when people come in, you know, do you get specific feedback? Do you have them fill out little forms? You know, do you ask them questions about what they want or what they'd like to see? Or do you even ask simple questions like why they come? You know, you may feel like you know it intuitively since you've been in business for so long, but gathering that data in a more formal way will actually help you and put you in a fantastic position to be able to now leverage and look more in depth at, okay, this is what we've been doing. This is how we're going to go about doing it better. You know, how we're going to appreciate those we have, but then how we'll, you know, maybe make a shift, because your customers might be coming to you because they're loyal. But they may truthfully, let's say, go to other stores for certain things that you could easily provide, but you don't know it. You know what I mean? Because you didn't necessarily ask the question. So I would go about doing that. So don't give up your retail and your brick and mortar, since that's really your baseline. But at the same time, yes, definitely execute the web strategy. Like I said, do something now, but then also go and retain those who can help you to do it in a big way, so that you can get the reach that you want. And then after you do that, make sure that you track it. You know, you track that information to be able to see, you know, for whatever they have helped you to implement, you know, how are you doing in terms of web hits? How are you doing in terms of sales? How are you you doing in terms of notoriety? Because sometimes things take a little bit of time before they gain traction, and then other times things can take off right away. But I would say definitely that two-pronged strategy will help you to get into that next stage of your business. And congratulations for being in business so long. That's very impressive.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, did I answer your question?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Okay.
Okay, as we're waiting for a couple of the callers to come in, I will go back to the competitive piece. Again, that was a wonderful question from Pablo. And again, the fact that he has been in business for 20 years is something that is fantastic. And I think all of us as business owners can aspire to reach in. And also the fact that he has recognized that, you know, his consumers are changing, his neighborhood is changing, his target market is changing. So now we have to shift. You know, when people do things in a way that is, again, the way we've always done it, it's not always a good thing. I mean, you don't ever want to move away from your core fundamentals and whatever it is you do, but at the same time, you do have to shift and change. And so that, again, that ties us back with what we were talking about earlier as we're waiting for a couple of the callers to come through. In terms of understanding, you know, the competitive landscape and the marketplace as a whole, you know, I didn't go into that in detail with Pablo, but honestly, you know, there's other things that he could be looking at as well. So the demographics are changing. You know, he wants to target younger audience. He wants to go online and do the web. That's an area he hasn't really done before. So obviously he recognizes he'll need help. And that's something that's a wonderful thing that he can go and get it. But he also did mention, at least explicitly, which is something that I think a lot of business owners need to look at, is, you know, what are his competitors doing? You know, if the fact that other competitors are already on the web, they're already online, they've already done things differently with their stores and he's just kind of catching up type of thing, then that's also something that would be a catalyst or something to push him. Because honestly, if he doesn't continue to look at what's going on inside of him, even though he's been wonderful enough to make it 20 years, and again, that is a huge feat for any business, then, you know, the likelihood of him making it another 20 years may be a lot less than it was the first years. I mean, as we know, the world is changing very, very quickly, and companies that are very successful are constantly at it. Let's just say they're constantly innovating, they're coming up with new product lines, but at the same time, you know, the minute a competitor comes out with something, they're coming out with something else. And again, you don't want to shift your game to that in particular, but at the same time, again, I just have seen it so many times with so many companies that I've worked with over the years, where honestly, you know, they've been plugging along, they decide to do something differently, and then they shift and they're like, okay, what's going on here? How did we get blindsided? How did we go from being number one to number five? Or how do we go from growing in a big way and then now all of a sudden we're stagnating? You know, how do we go from we're in expansion mode and now all of a sudden we're retracting? And then it's a bunch of catch up. It's a bunch of, oh my goodness, what do we do here? What do we do here? You're scrambling. You're trying to put on a good face to those outside of you, but internally you're scrambling. And so, you know, that's definitely not an area and definitely not a good thing that you want to do for your business going forward. So again, you know, I know that we kind of had to rush through the competitive intelligence piece today. I do thank all the callers for calling in. Again, it's accelerating your business, which is exactly what it is. You can contact us in the future. The call number is 610-539-8255, which is 610-539-TALK, or 877-667-1180. Also online at emailing at askmichelle, askmichelle, at 1180wfyl.com. That's askmichelle at 1180wfyl.com. And we definitely encourage more of you to, you know, again, to not be afraid to reach out. A lot of times people don't want to show that they have questions and put it online. But this is a medium for you to do so for those business owners who may not have, again, the ones that they can bounce off and ask those questions to. So we appreciate you calling in. We hope that you have a wonderful day and take care. Hi, everyone. Good morning again. This is Michelle Faustin. This is an extended time for Accelerated Your Business this morning. Since we started off a little bit late, we're going to take a few minutes to answer one of our callers that I believe was trying to call in during the break. If they haven't called in yet, then we will wait a couple more minutes, I guess, just to kind of go through our technical team. to come through. I believe her name was Elizabeth. So we will wait for Elizabeth to call in. In the meantime, I just wanted to take a few more minutes to just kind of go through a couple of tips for you to help you in what you're trying to do in terms of competitors. As I mentioned before, you know, I've worked over the years with many companies. It's been very wonderful. It's been about 45 companies to date, and every company from zero, meaning startup, they hadn't even started yet, to Fortune 100. So large and small. And some of these tips that I'm going to give you this morning really do help for companies large and small alike. Like I said, competitive analysis or competitive intelligence is something that is an area that many companies really don't do a good job of or don't do a good job of on an ongoing basis. And so, you know, I just want to leave you some practical tips for those who are still on air and still listening to help you in your business and to see, you know, some things that you can at least do today if you haven't done them already. The first thing is, you know, take an inventory. Excuse me this morning. My throat is a little bit coarse. So if I had to clear a little bit, please ignore that. But, you know, the first thing I to say is take a list to see who are your competitors. You know, who exactly are you competing against? Again, it's a very simple question, but it's not one that many business owners, individuals, executives, or managers at their companies can really articulate very succinctly. Who are your competitors? Who are your current competitors? The ones that I would call direct competitors. Who are your, let's say, indirect competitors? Meaning to say, like, okay, for example, if you are targeting a certain audience, but then there's a sub audience. So let's say, for example, you're a restaurant and you are targeting people who like to eat Italian, right? So that, let's say, is your core audience. So you might look to say, well, my competitors are other Italian restaurants, let's say within a 10-mile radius or 5-mile radius. But the truth of the matter is that would be considered a direct competitor, right? That's another Italian restaurant. But an indirect competitor couldn't be the Chinese restaurant that is also 5 minutes away. And, you know, we don't think of that as a direct because you think, oh, they serve Chinese. But the people who you're trying to target are those who, let's say, are a lunch crowd or a dinner crowd in your area. And so breaking those out is step one. When we continue, we'll go through some other tips and some other steps for you to do. But that is definitely something that you can implement right away. And so we do have Elizabeth on the line now. Elizabeth, are you there?
Yes. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for still tuning in and for calling us after our normal airtime. What is your business question this morning?
Actually, it's more of a financial question. I don't know if you would be able to, if you can give me some advice on it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I have two young kids, mm-hmm. and I'd like to prepare their college education. Are there any programs out there that I could participate in to prepare them for their college education?
When you say prepare them, you mean prepare them academically, or you mean for on your end to financially prepare in terms of excuse me, saving money and getting the right funds together to be able to have enough to finance their education?
Financially prepare them.
Well, that is a big question. I mean, in the sense that there are many different vehicles and many different ways you can do that. I mean, there's certain investments you can do. I mean, there's certain, you know, tax, you know, I don't want to say tax, well, yes, tax programs and in areas that you can have in terms of saving up for it. I believe it's the 529. I hope I have that number right in terms of that particular one. But I guess I'll ask you a different question, you know, right now. So, you know, what are you doing in terms of just generating the finance part, period, right? Because it's one thing to, okay, say, okay, I have X amount of money. I mean, you can do it very traditional, right? You plan ahead and you save, you know, you say you have two children and you kind of can estimate out. I mean, there's a lot of resources online to look at what college education costs and what it will cost by the time your children are in college, since you say you have young children. And then also take a look, you know, at what are you saving now? So if you have a certain amount that you're saving, you can do it the traditional way by just putting that money away. Like I said, there definitely are investment vehicles that you can look into with your financial advisor if you have one. And if not, again, there's a lot of information online in terms of the different resources you can that are saving vehicles that, again, are tax deferred and tax protected that you can do. And then other ones so that you're getting some kind of interest on, you know, in terms of how you invest. I mean, I'm not qualified to give you specific investment advice in terms of if you are risk averse or if you are risk taking or risk seeking in terms of how you want to make those investments. So those particulars are something I would definitely suggest that you go to a financial advisor about. But what I would say, you know, in terms of, you know, from my acumen and in terms of working with businesses, a lot of business owners have the same thing in the sense that, you know, because they're running the business, this is the way for them to plan how they're going to fund their life, you know. So again, that includes their children and taking them to college. So what I would say is from a business standpoint, and are you running your own business now or thinking about opening your own business?
I am thinking about opening my own business.
Okay.
But I haven't, so I'm still working on the business plan.
Okay. Well, again, that's a good thing that you're working on the plan. What I would say is this, you know, for those who are running a business, that should be part of your planning, meaning if you are a business owner already. If you're not a business owner already and you're, you know, you're working in a traditional job, working for someone, you should still go through that planning in terms of, you know, projecting out the right amount of financing and doing, and again, getting the right financial advisors to come alongside you to help you, that investment professionals that will help you to be able to do that. But then the third thing I would say is, you know, for those who are, let's say, on the fence, this is also something I would actually propose, and a lot do it. But I think, you know, you need to look at other sources of income depending on what your current budget is now. So if you're saying that, you know, you're looking for looking at starting off a business, you know, you may decide, well, this is a business you want to do 100%, or you may decide, you know what, this is a business I may want to do part time. You know, for now, just to generate extra income, and the income from your business can be what you use to actually fund your children's education as well as meet your other financial goals. Now, granted, when you do that, the same principles of business apply. You would still, of course, have to look at, you know, what service or product you're offering, you know, who you're trying to target, you know, whether or not you think this is something that will be profitable for you. I mean, not just generate revenue, but be profitable, because, of course, you want to make money on it. You know, there's ways you can test it out if you want to do it in very small ways. And a lot of times people think they have to go from zero to 100 when they start in a business. They have grand dreams and there's nothing wrong with that. And sometimes they feel like, okay, well, I want to be a multi-million dollar business tomorrow. And, you know, for some, their businesses do grow very rapidly, but a lot of times, you know, when you're thinking about something, it's really a good idea to just test it out. You want to test out to see if what you provide and what you offer is something that's going to be viable. And then once you gain a little bit of traction, you can continuously to grow and improve and build upon that and still get to that place of goals while still having the security of whatever job you may have. So whatever route you decide to take going forward in terms of generating that income or generating those finances, that's something that, you know, you would have to decide personally, and also, of course, in terms of time allocation and, again, searching out the right resources to help you. I mean, if you know how to write a business plan and you feel comfortable with that, that's great. If not, honestly, I would suggest that you also get someone to help you with writing your business plan. I mean, that's something that I've done with my business, you know, for many years since I've been in there. And I've realized that there are some companies that, some individuals and companies that know how to do a good job of it. And then there's others where they really do need, you know, the extra help and someone who's been doing it for a long time to truly know how to position it right. So that not only do you have the focus and direction you need for yourself, but any employees or any stakeholders that you may decide to bring on. But even if you don't, if you want to get funding for that business, regardless of how you do it, if you go through non-traditional funding or lending, bank lending, if you want to try to get investors to come in, whatever route you go, you want to make sure that it's positioned in such a way to be able to get that too. So, you know, again, there are many different ways that you can start doing that now. Again, it's wonderful that you are thinking about preparing for your children. Again, there's still a large segment of the population that doesn't do that or don't think about it until it's, until it's close to the time when that occurs, meaning when they're about to go to college or they get accepted and then there's a big scramble. So that's great that at least you're in the preparation stage. But these are the steps that I would take right now to ensure that, you know, that there's something that you get to achieve your goal. And I think that you're really off to a great start because, again, the fact that it's even top of mind and you are looking to take the right steps that you need to actually implement this so that you're not in that situation where you're scrambling or you're just depending on other factors that may or may not come through at that particular point in time is a wonderful thing. So I hope that I answered your question. Did I answer your question, Elizabeth?
You gave me more information than I ever thought. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you so much again for calling in, and thank you for your patience this morning to do so.
Oh,
we
no
definitely
problem.
Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Okay. Okay, we have a couple more minutes. So again, I just want to wrap up by pretty much just saying, again, you know, we thank you so much for listening in to WFYL. You know, it's very important that you support our stations. We thank you for listening in to Accelerating Your Business. For those who are still online and didn't kind of drop off at the 8 o'clock time frame, again, this is a program. And for those who maybe have tuned in after the program, Accelerating Your Business is a call-in business program where business owners can call in and just ask whatever questions they want, or aspiring business owners, as we just had with Elizabeth, to be able to answer questions about, you know, what they can do from a strategic level, and also what they can do for their day-to-day to help grow their business from a top and bottom line perspective. The call-in number is 610-539-8255, which stands for 610-539-TALK, or 877-667-1180. And for those of you who stream, because there are actually a lot of people who stream and don't always get to listen to us live, there is an email address that you can email to ask any of the business questions, which we will address on the air, as we did with William's question earlier. And that is at Ask Michelle, that's A-S-K-M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E at 1180WFYL.com. Again, that's Ask Michelle at 1180WFYL.com. We want this to be the resource for you, again, for people who may just want to come in and ask an expert questions that they have pressing on their mind. And it's also an opportunity for you to be able to bounce ideas off of someone who's very impartial and someone who will not bring any kind of bias into a response. Because oftentimes, you know, the people that you retain or the people that you work with closely, they may or may not be able to give you a clear, honest answer just due to any other types of relationship nuances. So again, we appreciate those who have called in last week and this week. We definitely encourage others to call in and to email us in as well. Again, I will be going through topics in between questions being asked by our listeners as each week goes on. Top of mind topics that I've experienced with a lot of the companies that I've worked with over the years, as well as any new topics that come into place in the news or things that I believe that are going to be pressing to those who listen and that'll be beneficial to them. So again, it is Accelerating Your Business, hosted by me, Michelle Faustin, President and CEO of MJF Strategy and author of How to Grow and Expand Your Business in Times of Feast or Famine. I hope that you all have a wonderful day.